Facebook has implemented a ban on white nationalism and white separatism content in light of the violent propaganda being shared online after the Christchurch terror attacks. Katrina Elder is an Associate Professor of Sociology at the University of Sydney. The Wire's Heloise Vias asks her what hate speech looks like online today.
Hate speech is spreading very, very quickly, and it looks like images, words across multiple platforms, attacking, humiliating people from different nationalities, religions, ethnicities.
Why do you think white supremacists have been freely allowed to post such content on the platform for a long time?
It's because of a few things, and it depends on the country where they're in. But a lot of the time the issues are around just the technologies and the platforms. The internet across the last 5-6 years has just meant that it's so much easier and so much content is around that it's hard for people, i.e. the platform owners, just to control the speech.
Obviously, in the past, there have been numerous terror attacks. Why do you think Facebook did not already have these policies in place about banning white nationalist content?
I think it's a couple of things. I think, one, it's this sort of idea of free speech and the sort of sense that, you know, people get to express a sense of who they are. And I think that white nationalist and sort of white supremacist material got mixed up with sort of general ideas of nationalism. They were all allowed to be proud of who we are. And so it wasn't understood as the hateful speech it was. It sort of just got this free pass, as it were, because it was associated with some sort of pride in who you are. In Christchurch, just suddenly made it way more visible for white people and for, you know, in particular here, Facebook.
Katrina Elder, Associate Professor of Sociology at the University of Sydney. Stephen Schooler is a former CEO of Facebook from Australia and New Zealand. I asked him why white nationalist sentiments were previously allowed on Facebook and why the Christchurch terror attack prompted this action.
Look, I think what's happened is, you know, momentum has been building, I think, for some time around the questions being asked of all the big internet platforms about the types of content that they are allowing on their platforms. Now, the big platforms have, they're not regulated in most countries like traditional media are, and they've been very clear that they see themselves as technology platforms that are that try to remain agnostic to the content that's put on them, because the content is largely generated by users, not generated or edited by the platforms themselves. However, clearly, with the incidents that have happened recently and the focus on the question of this one area of white nationalism, Facebook's decided that it's going to take further steps to remove certain content from its platform that is not, but previously Facebook did not deem in violation of its community standards around racism, but now it's saying, no, we were drawing the line we didn't draw the line in the right place. We need to draw the line a little further over and remove some other content or prevent other content that could be deemed racist that previously Facebook was allowing because it, in the spirit of free speech.
There's a fine line between, you know, like white nationalism compared to people being proud of their country and American pride and like national pride and patriotism and things like that. Would that be a difficult issue for Facebook to take up in terms of differentiating between the two?
Yeah, I think that's a great question because I think it goes to the heart of a challenge that we as a society have, and then it's projected onto these big tech platforms. And that challenge is, what's the level of freedom of expression that we're prepared to maintain, and where do we draw the line that freedom of expression becomes inappropriate or illegal? And to their credit, I think Facebook, Google, and these platforms have largely grown up with the philosophy that they don't want to restrict free speech. Which is a tenet of most Western democracies, that freedom of speech should be allowed at a fairly extreme level. You know, you can say what you want. You can criticize leaders. You can take controversial positions. You can argue against the majority. That these are things we hold sacred to democracy. But it's clearly, some things are obviously not going to be appropriate or acceptable, and some things are illegal to say in different countries. Yeah. Or advocate for. But I think the problem we're going to run into here is Facebook's not drawing lines at what's necessarily just illegal. They're drawing lines at what they're setting as community standards based on, you know, what they are what they think is what the communities want, and or what communities or politicians are pressuring them to do. And so I think there's a more difficult question here, which is how restrictive do we really want these platforms to be? Because you make a good point. There's, you know, one person's, you know, racism is another person's nationalism. And sometimes it's only with historical perspective that we actually come to those conclusions. In real time, sometimes we don't. And so I think it's an interesting question as to how over time we're going to feel about Facebook, censoring essentially the internet and conversations on the internet, just based on what politicians are pressuring them to do, the politicians or the governments of the day.
Do you think social media platforms in general have a broader role to play in preventing the formation of organized hate groups and spreading violent propaganda?
I think yes. And we've realized in the past 2 or 3 years, and I think as a society, and I think Facebook, YouTube themselves have realized that their platforms are very powerful for driving discourse and social sort of opinion forming in a way that even now is not really well understood, but I think we're starting to see what some of the deeper effects could be. And so, you know, they become more than just, a place where people post photos of, you know, of their friends and their family. They become places where communities form views of issues. And that is a real responsibility that goes well beyond just saying, no, we're a neutral platform. So I think there's a balance that's going to have to be struck between these being independent, companies that are trying to make, money versus their public role and how that public role is carried out in a way that the communities find acceptable.
Stephen Sheeler, former CEO of Facebook in Australia and New Zealand, speaking to The Wire's Heloise Vias.